Hey everybody, Paul Boyer for the Madman Machine Show 170 for Sunday, December 6th. Merry Christmas to you. If I don't happen to see you before then, I hope I will. But I'd like to start out the show with something happy and in the spirit of the season from the Sunshine Collective Band.
In the air there's a feeling, something that's so appealing, hiding in the chill, a frosty kind of thrill. It's a winter wonderland. Oh, the snow loves the city, changing everything to pretty. Come on out to play for as long as it stays. It's magic in our winter wonderland. Wonderland. Our winter. Mistletoe, stolen kisses, the fire warm and so delicious. Sipping frothy cocoa, hearing fairy Como, singing winter wonderland. If we keep close together, there's nothing cold about the weather. Your dreams will come true and I'll follow them too. Happy in our winter. Slip, slip, slip in snowman falls. Funny puffy clothes, Picasso's drawn on frosty windows. Smiles fill up the street. Nothing else is sweet. It's happiness. You hear the sound of the love. It's all around us. Hear the jingle bells ringing, the sound of little voices singing. A magical season that everyone believes in. It's our winter wonderland. Everyone fills the sidewalk, slipping like a frozen hopscotch. The city's a snowglobe. We don't want to go home. We're playing in our winter Wonderland.
That's Sunshine Collective, who blend a smoothie of songs with a fun nod to all things retro and pop. That's their holiday single, Our Winter Wonderland, and it is available as a free download from their website, sunshinecollective.com. Look for their debut CD in January of 2010. Well, welcome everybody. Welcome. Been a couple weeks since I've been with you, and since that time, athletes have driven into trees with their cars. You've probably know more about this story than I do. I mean, actually, a friend of mine called me, said, "Hey, what's the story on Tiger Woods? I hear he's in serious condition, and I'm at a place I can't get any news. Tell me, look on the internet, and what's going on with Tiger?" I said, "Well, I haven't heard anything. I mean, you know, he was in China. He won a tournament down in Australia." No. He's hit a tree. He's in a car accident. He's in serious condition. And so I got on the internet and read something about it and says, yeah, he hit a tree. He's in serious condition, was in the hospital, and wow, you know. Hope he's all right. And so you've been following the story. Like I say, you know more about it than I do because I don't really watch the news on TV. I get my news from selected sources on the internet that I go to, that I visit. And so things slip by me. But I did try to investigate this a little bit more. I got curious. I wanted to see some of the pictures. You know, everything that you want to know about the Tiger Woods story is on the internet, I guess. Including photos of his vehicle, all around the vehicle, the front side, the back side, the left side, the right side. the two back windows being smashed out with the glass inside the vehicle. Photos show the doors of the vehicle open to show the interior of the Cadillac Escalade. And on the floor, just behind the driver's seat of this Cadillac Escalade, was a book. And it was a little hard to see what the title of this book was, so I brought the image up into an image editor and enhanced it and enlarged it. And I still couldn't quite make it out, but the title of the book was something about Get and either Physics or Psychics. Couldn't really make out the last word there. So Amazon to the rescue. Went over to Amazon and I typed Get Physics, and the top search result was an image of a book that looked exactly like the image of the book laying on Tiger Woods' car floor, and it's called Get a Grip on Physics. Get a Grip on Physics. Now, the author is John Gribben, and when I looked at it on Amazon, the same day that the pictures became available on the web, I discovered that there were no copies available from Amazon. There were some used copies that you could get. One for $85 of this little book, I guess about 192 pages long. I since read a story about how this book was originally ranked something like 300,000 and shot all the way up to 2,500 as soon as the photos of Tiger Woods' car were released on the internet. Now the comment, it doesn't have a description of the book, but it has a comment. The first comment from A. McKenzie about the book says, "A great book, 5 stars. This book is great, but I wouldn't recommend keeping it in your car. It's so good that it might distract you, causing you to mysteriously run into fire hydrants and trees." Why would Tiger Woods have a book about physics in his car? Well, the author, a newspaper article talked to the author and said, well, this is exactly the audience that the book is intended for. Not somebody that's a scholar in physics, but an everyday person that wants to learn a little bit more about physics. The newspaper also surmised, perhaps, though, that Tiger got confused and thought it was a book about the golf grip. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. You know how technology is so great because in technology it just seems like everything always improves. Everything always gets better. Like my iPhone gets better every time an application makes an update or every time the iPhone operating system gets updated. And the same is true with Google. You know, the Google Docs. I was in Google Spreadsheets the other day. I have a spreadsheet that looks at portfolios and such. And I noticed that there's a new function available in the Google Finance function available in the spreadsheets. And it's something that I've been looking for a long while, and they finally implemented it. It's called Google Yest. It's called Close Yest. Sounds kind of boring. Well, here's what it does. When you put in a stock symbol, let's just say you put in the ticker symbol AAPL for Apple Computer. No, excuse me. Apple Corporation. They're no longer called Apple Computer. You put in this ticker symbol AAPL in column 1, column A. Then in column B, you could say equals Google Finance, parentheses, A1, comma. And then you could say, quote, close Yest, end quote. As in close yesterday. One word, C-L-O-S-E-Y-E-S-T, in quotes. End the parentheses. Hit enter. And amazingly, miraculously, what it will give you back in that cell B1, it will give you the closing price yesterday for Apple's stock. That's the last trading price as of yesterday for Apple's stock. And why is that so important? Well, if you have a portfolio that you're looking at of stocks or exchange-traded funds, you can create another column with today's current trading price, 20 minutes delayed. And then you can compare today's price against yesterday's price. And if you're looking at an entire portfolio, then this can help you gauge how well the portfolio is doing today against yesterday. Now, I know you're not supposed to be looking at stocks this frequently. You're not supposed to be looking at stocks daily. John Bogle says he looks at his portfolio maybe once a year. You know, I imagine when you've got the kind of money John Bogle has, then that's fine. Me, every day I want to know that it hasn't gone to zero. So close yest in the Google Finance function is a way to pull up yesterday's closing price. And then if you just say equal Google Finance of A1 in parentheses, that gives you the most recent price. And then you can do comparisons against that. You can divide the recent price over the yesterday's price minus one and put it in percentage format. And you'll get the percentage differential between the current price and yesterday's closing price. Now, one caution is this doesn't work for mutual funds. Mutual funds, it only gives you yesterday's close because there are no current trading prices for mutual funds. They only give you the net asset value as of the close of the day, and it's usually something like 5:36, 37:30 at night when those numbers appear in your Google spreadsheet using Google Finance. But that is our tool this week, the Google Finance attribute called Close Yest. And like other tools I've given you so far, it's completely free. Saw a headline somewhere, didn't read the article, but the headline said Goldman Sachs limits holiday parties to no more than 12 people. I guess they're a little bit gun shy. No pun intended. Although that's another headline I saw about Goldman, is there some of the employees are buying handguns now because they're so afraid of the public. Because they got big bailouts from the government and their profits are skyrocketing. And their employees have the revolving door between the federal government and back to Goldman and so forth. Look at former Treasury Secretary and other players in the administration. Well, anyway, let's look at the lighter side of bailouts with a song now from Eddie Delbridge, Santa Got a Bailout.
Up at the North Pole, the drama was thick. Santa was broken, he was calling it quits. His financial advisor advised him he was through. Now the elves are unemployed. So much for the season of joy. But Mrs. Claus was having none of that. She said, Mr. Kringle, be a diplomat and get yourself down, right down to Capitol Hill. A bailout bill is what we need. How many years we've been doing this for free? Santa got a bailout, let's face the truth. What member of Congress wanted to be seen as Scrooge? Retrain those reindeer, rehire those elves. Refurbish and update Santa's old sled. It's best to keep those elves occupied. Santa got a bailout, yes sirree. There's gonna be presents under the tree. Santa got a bailout, let's face the truth. or member of Congress wanted to be seen as Scrooge.
Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus, Osmond and William Oldmore. And for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show 170 is Charles Goyette. Charles Goyette is a former radio talk show host in Phoenix, Arizona. He's studied and practiced alternative investing for many years. He frequently appears in the media to discuss the intersection of economics, politics, and investing. He lives in wonderful, beautiful, always sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. And his new book is called The Dollar Meltdown. Subtitle, Surviving the Impending Currency Crisis with Gold, Oil, and Other Unconventional Investments. And I have gotten a copy of this book from the library. Thank you very much, Public Library. And read a copy of it. And if you've read Peter Schiff's books, if you've read The Daily Reckoning and Gary North and those guys, then there's not a whole lot of surprises here. What is different, though, is specific investment ideas in the back of the book, and that's what I'm going to give to you. You know, in fictional books, it's rather rude to give away the ending. But in nonfiction books, I'm going to give it away, you know. I'm going to read the book so you don't have to, basically. Let's see. The book comes in, it's about 241 pages long or so, 17 chapters comprised of four sections. Section one, where we are. And it's talks about chapter two, for example, bailouts, banking blunders, and boondoggles. Section two is called How We Got Here. Gold, the quality of money, is chapter 4. Inflation, the quantity of money, is chapter 5. And chapter 6, American money, a superior sleight of hand. Section 3, he says, what happens next? Chapter 7 is how it comes down, likely scenarios. Chapter 8, toppling the dollar, your new world order is waiting. And chapter 9, the authorities are in charge, or so they think. Well, the important chapter for all of us investors is section 4, chapters 10 through 17. What to do is the section 4. And so he says invest in the following things in the scenario that the dollar melts down. If the dollar melts down, you want to be invested in gold, silver, oil, real things, and he talks about bonds and alternative currencies. So there's actually specific ticker symbols that he pulls out in the book. Under gold, of course, you could buy bullion coins, American Eagle gold coins and so forth, which I guess now go for a little over $1,200 for the $50 gold piece. A little easier technique, perhaps not as safe, is to buy one of the ETFs that tracks gold, ticker symbol GLD, ticker symbol IAU, or ticker symbol GTU. He doesn't mention GTU in here. That's a Canadian fund, a little bit different than the GLD and IAU. And he also mentions buying one of the gold miner indexes, which is GDX. And under silver, of course, you could do the same sort of thing. You could buy bullion coins. You could buy pre-1965 or 1964 and before American U.S. coins. Yeah, buy a big bag full of silver coins. Or you could buy the ETF SLV. As far as oil, you could go buy a big drum. No, you couldn't buy a big drum of oil. But you can buy USO, which is an ETF called the United States Oil Fund. He also mentions the USL, United States 12-month oil fund. And he mentions a couple other funds in there. I'll just give you the tickers. BTE, ERF, and PWE. These are sort of oil trusts, maybe from Canada. Canada that have high dividends, by the way. And under the category of real things, he recommends things like the exchange-traded fund with ticker symbol DBA, which is the PowerShares Agriculture Fund, or DBB, the PowerShares Base Metals Fund. He also mentions HAP, which is the Market Vector's Hard Assets Fund, and the XME, which is the S&P Metals and Mining Fund. Then under bonds, he talks about, well, in an inflationary environment, money parked in bonds gets worth less and less and less. So bond values, bond prices go down and down and down, and interest rates conversely go up and up and up. And if you have invested in a bond, then you're going to lose money in an inflationary environment. So his investment pick then is RYJUX, a mutual fund from RYDEX called the Inverse Government Long Bond Strategy. And I've looked at a chart of this recently, and it actually hasn't done well this year, you know? It's just kind of odd, you know? So I used Google Finance, by the way. I put in the ticker symbols of all of these various exchange-traded funds and mutual fund. And just last Friday from the previous day, Thursday, GLD went down 4% in one day. IAU down 4.23%. GDX, the gold miners, down 5.31% in a day. So I didn't pick a very good day to start looking at this because just about everything went down. Except actually the inverse bond fund went up 2.88% in that one day. Well, if you are wondering what's going to happen to the United States dollar as a currency, well, get a copy from the library of Charles Goyette's book, The Dollar Meltdown, and learn how to survive the impending currency crisis. Congratulations, Charles Goyette. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine, show 170. Entering the harvest season, don't you? No, not pumpkin harvesting. It's tax loss harvesting season. Now, this year, as opposed to 2008, this year you might have some gains if you bought early in the year and you've ridden those stocks up since March 9th, the low point of the year. But if you do have some losses and you want to get out of a position, well, you might think about selling those funds, switching into a similar fund, perhaps, similar but different ticker symbol, and then waiting at least 31 days before you switch back, if you need to switch back, or just keeping it where it is if it's a truly equal fund, but take the loss against any gains that you might have realized in 2009. See your tax advisor, see your financial planner for more details, or simply Google tax loss harvesting for more information. I probably, maybe, might very possibly do another show in 2009. No guarantees, though. I'm only going to do a show when I have something important to say, like I did on this show, for example. But we've come a long way in the 4 years that the Mad Money Machine has been in iTunes. Haven't we? We started out as a sort of a rah-rah critique of buying stocks and watching Jim Cramer to saying poo to that and buying index funds. And then we looked at index funds in depth and investigated how to build portfolios of index funds and match them as closely as we could to the efficient frontier. In other words, getting the most reward for the amount of risk that we're taking in index funds. And then we come to learn to find out that the whole game is rigged. The whole system is rigged. All the dollar and investing and the insiders and stocks and the markets. It's all a big game and you're not invited to play. And you know, I'm kidding a little bit there. People have done well in investing over the years and you can park some of your investments in stocks, But I would encourage you to investigate the Harry Brown permanent portfolio a little bit more and see what he has to say about investing in four different things, one for each of the different economic cycles that we might happen to be involved with. Let's see what else I forgot to say. I've been reading some more about Harry Brown. You know, the crawlingroad.com/blog website threatened to go down for a while. Craig R. said he was going to go off and do other things. People said, no, wait a minute, it's a good resource. He said, oh. So he said, well, thanks for the love. And he declined to shut down his website anyway. If you haven't read crawlingroad.com/blog, it's a good resource of all things Harry Brown. I have been going back and reading some of the Harry Brown books and listening to some of his radio shows and things. You know, it's not just the permanent portfolio that he talks about. He talks about he talks about things that you might see when you take the red pill and enter the real world and leave the matrix of what the media projects into your brain. One of the most prominent things that we've learned in the past 4 years here at the Mad Money Machine is the currency, is the money, where money comes from, what money means, what the dollar is. What is a dollar? If you were to ask, you know, what is the definition of a dollar these days? Well, it's something that the government makes up and says that you must use to buy things. And so what's going to happen in the future when that funny money becomes, in the words of Charles Goyette, melted down? Congressman Ron Paul has the quote on the top of the book, The Dollar Meltdown. He said, Goyette does a great job explaining why America faces a looming financial crisis and outlines common sense strategies for individuals to protect themselves and their families. This book is truly a must read. So I want to thank you for hanging in there with me. I know there are several of you that have listened to every single Mad Money Machine episode, and there are several of you that this is your very first Mad Money Machine episode. To those of you who are new, it's not necessarily a typical episode. You may want to go back into the archives and listen to old shows. If you've got any questions about topics that I've covered in the past and you may want them updated, or you've got questions about things that you think I should cover going forward, feel free to email me. My email address is feedback@madmoneymachine.com. And visit that website, by the way. There are links there to things like lazy portfolios. There are links to some of the tools. I haven't updated those recently, but I do have show notes for each show, listing various websites and resources and things like that. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Valentine's Day to you, and I will see you soon. This is Paul Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes a dollar meltdown to make a mad money machine. See you soon.